Packers in law. We now have an official semi theme song, which is me going ba 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 ba. But that's how it's like on this great podcast. I'm Andy Smith, the Packer rookie.
I'm Jake Speckhard, the Packer veteran.
Who approved of that theme song, by the way, heartily. So
sort of.
Send your hate mail.
It'll do for now, Smith. It'll do for now.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
That'll do.
Welcome. We are now week three. I'm trying to really overcompensate for the sadness of Packer Nation by really coming in hard here. Not sure if it is working. We are, of course, in mourning over the loss, first loss of the year for the Packers, 17-14 to Minnesota. I hate to say I told you so, Jake, but I did tell you so.
You did. Some of the things that you specifically mentioned, you predicted the Packers would only score 17 points and they didn't even get that close. Whereas I said I would be shocked if they didn't score more than 17 points, and they didn't. Again, I think the Vikings are good. I just thought that with Bradford, you know, making his first start after only being there for about 2 weeks, I thought that their offense was not going to be, at least the passing offense, was not going to be as smooth as it was. But it was. Bradford played a great game.
Another something that was referenced by yours truly.
That's just true.
That out.
He played very well. Stephon Diggs had the game of his life. After that game, he is the leading receiver for the NFL in 2016.
He did have a good week last week as well, but did, you're but right. I mean, this is a crazy game. And again, Sam Shields out with a concussion, so that was a major blow.
Right. It did end up hurting us more than I thought it would. I thought that Demaryius Randall would step in and provide decent protection from the big play, which did not happen. But yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. You know, when you lose to your division rival, especially the team that stopped your four consecutive seasons of winning your division. You know, in a lot of ways, the Vikings proved that even with, you know, Adrian Peterson being a no-show, you know, and then he got hurt and was out for the rest of the game, the Vikings are still the team to beat in this division as it stands right now.
So, already holds sole possession of first place in the NFC North.
That's right. And I, you know, this might be
no
one
matter
of those,
what happens tonight.
Yes. This might be one of those seasons where the Packers are spending the entire year chasing the Vikings, and then at the end of the season it might, you know, we played Detroit the last game of the season, but we played them again.
I think you're right. Like last week of December, second last week of December. That sound right?
Yeah. Yeah, we played them in the last 3 weeks. So it could be one of those things where it comes down to us and them at the very end. I mean, it's only been two games. Don't want to overreact, but that's the way it's looking right now. Let's break this down.
First off, we should pause and say, that is a gorgeous stadium. No matter what you think about the Minnesota Vikings, which probably there is much hate, that is a very, very nice stadium.
Yes, that $1.1 billion was put to good use from a stadium standpoint. It's funny because the outside is very unique. I don't think I've ever seen a professional sports stadium shaped quite like that.
Very angular. It kind of reminds me of, if anyone out there knows, in Los Angeles, the Disney Concert Hall kind of has that feel to it.
Is that the place where the finale of what was that movie with Steve Carell and Anne Hathaway?
End of the World.
No.
A Friend at the End of the World.
No, that's with
Get Smart.
Yes, Get Smart. The other one was with Keira Knightley. But yeah, isn't that where they go? Isn't that where they plant the bomb in Get Smart? Isn't that the
I don't remember that movie. Despite my ability to guess the movie you're thinking, I actually don't remember it at all.
Well, if it is, then I know what you're talking about, and I see the line you're drawing here. It is very, you know, that's that kind of angular shape. I do appreciate that, despite the fact that it is a dome, which I think they should, you know, I was upset that they didn't go to a outdoor stadium, because who doesn't love playing football in sub-zero freezing temperatures with snow? I do appreciate that they have that new, the defining feature, as they said on the TV broadcast last night, the transparent roof that actually does let in natural light, so that, you know, if they were playing a day game, you almost couldn't tell from a TV view, you know, if it was in a dome or not, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We also have some inside info on that gave 3M, the Minnesota company, some trouble because birds kept flying into those windows.
Oh, that's right. I did remember reading about that, which I think is pretty funny because you see, you know, that's on those commercials all the time for those glass cleaners where it's like, it's so good, the birds won't know. And then I just imagine like thousands of birds. Like,
yeah, it's actually not good if it's that clean.
Right. I just imagine thousands of birds, you know, in Minneapolis just crashing into the new Viking stadium, and it's like, well, we're going to have to, I don't know, how do you fix it? Like, do you apply some coating that only
Well,
birds?
My source inside 3M told me that they had to, like, actually develop some sort of, like, coating, like a, like, almost like a, not like a big sticker, but, like, something to put on top of it.
Like that's a wrap?
That's something that the birds, I guess, can see or they recognize. I don't know.
Well, I was just going to say, is there something that birds can see that humans can't that you put on there and then prevent them from crashing thousands of birds killing themselves on the new stadium? That's interesting.
That's possible. And that's our episode this week. Please join us next week for architecture and bird sights. Thank you for listening.
That's our spinoff podcast coming
soon. That was a really bad. I was trying to think of a good title off the top of my head. Not working.
Architecture and bird sights.
Architectural bird sights. I mean, who wouldn't listen to that?
I would. I mean,
check it out
right
on
now.
iTunes. Speaking of which, we are on iTunes now, so please rate, review, subscribe, share, all that stuff. We'll remind you several times throughout the episode, but we are now official. We've made it.
Yes, we have made it in terms of actually getting on iTunes, which is more complicated than you might think. So if you feel like rewarding us by subscribing or liking or reviewing us or whatever, please do. We really appreciate
it. Even if you don't feel like it, it's free. Just do it. It's fine.
True. You know. If you look in terms of effort from us actually getting on iTunes and then your effort in subscribing or liking things, your effort's way less. So just,
yeah.
You know.
So pull your weight, okay, person out there listening. Goodness.
Just get in there and get it done.
So. Lazy. You're lazy. Okay, this is probably not a good way
to
get
this. Don't antagonize the listeners, Andy.
It's kind of my thing, though. Anyway, getting back to the game. Let's get into this game and pass the beautiful stadium into the field, or onto the field, where our Packers really played a subpar game.
Yeah, it wasn't the return to form for the offense that we were hoping for.
Understatement. Big understatement. They get the ball. Defense does a great job on that first series. We talked about this on the show, is that the first few series were going to be really important because it was going to be rocking in that stadium. And I thought the defense did a great job. It wasn't a three and out, but I think second series they got a punt. Really good. We get the ball around the 10-yard line, and all of a sudden, everyone on the Packers forgets how to hold the ball.
Yeah, that was in terms of first offensive play of the game. For at least I know the Vikings already had the ball, but for the Packers anyway, that was bizarre. Seeing Adams catch it and then fumble, and then the Vikings pick it up, and then Randall Cobb comes in and wrestles the ball away from Sendejo, who had picked up the fumble by Adams, and then Cobb takes away from him. Just one of the more bizarre starts to it. You know, after watching that, you kind of look back at the game and you think that was kind of an omen as to how the offense was going to play this game. Moments of brilliance followed by moments of them kind of losing their poise and then sort of recollecting themselves. But it was a very weird, strange play.
Yeah, I remember someone on Twitter said, when we heard that Randall Cobb was getting bigger and stronger in the offseason, I'm not sure that he had this in mind. That's the
right
ball from a cornerback.
Well, hey, you never know. I mean, you never know when you have to rip the ball out of somebody's hands. So it was a good thing he was there, because this game could have been a lot worse if he hadn't been able to make that recovery.
So let's start with kind of big ideas, and we'll work our way down. You mentioned this a little bit, but talk more specifically about the offense itself. Because again, as you mentioned on the outset, only 14 points. Really didn't ever seem like we got it going. And really, there's a lot of finger pointing. Rodgers was all over the place in this game. Again, couldn't hold on to the ball. Is it Olivia Munnisota? Who knows? That's conspiracy theory
sure
that I'm putting out there.
That's exactly what it is.
Because that needs to be done more. Other possibilities, I mean, Eddie Lacy, 50 yards, nothing really exciting there. In fact, Aaron Rodgers almost outran him. I think he's at 30, 33, 29 yards in this game. Wide receivers, Jordy Nelson was looking real slow behind the pace, at least I thought in this game. Randall Cobb was a better defender than a wide receiver this game. Give me some of your overall thoughts.
Yeah, so the...
I should say, sorry, excuse me, before you answer. Jordy Nelson had a good game on paper, 73 yards and a touchdown, and he drew that penalty that actually got us to the goal line for the first touchdown. But overall, I still felt he was behind the pace.
Yeah, and talking specifically about Jordy Nelson, you look at the game he had, and again, on paper, it looks great. And he did have one play, I think it was in the third quarter, that set up the the second touchdown that the Packers had, the Rodgers run, where he actually did get behind Trey Waynes, who had a pretty rough game until the very end there. He played well, but, and this is actually something I tweeted out on our Packers in Law Twitter page, is that maybe preseason reps actually are kind of important, because, again, we kind of expected, or at least we hoped in our, you know, pipe dream, that Nelson would come back, him and Rodgers would have chemistry just like 2014 again right away with no wait times. You know, we just get right back to where we left off 2 years ago. And after two games, again, it's only two games, but from what we've seen so far, that is not going to happen. It's going to take some time. You know, Jordy Nelson, has not played football in over a year, and now he's just played two games in the last 2 weeks. It's clear his body is still adjusting. It's not going to be the same offense that we all want to see that happened in 2014. I think it goes overall with the offense as a whole, and just talking about, you know, managing expectations. After two, you know, again, it's not what we thought it was or what we hoped it would be, so maybe we shouldn't be expecting the Packers to be 2014 anymore. You know, take them as they are now and as they were last season, where, you know, it was kind of not as explosive. The most explosive plays the Packers had up until that Nelson catch were all pass interference penalties on Trey Waynes and Terrence Newman. And, I mean, it's nice if you can get, you know, if you can move the ball that way, but you don't exactly want to rely on the defense to bail you out and move the ball down the field. Nelson, you know, is still a work in progress, I think. The other receivers, you know, Cook had a couple of nice catches, but really, again, was not much of a factor. Cobb had some nice plays. Actually, Adams had some good catches, but, again, it didn't seem like anybody really had a standout game. Lacy had 50 yards on 12 carries. I think 12 carries is not enough. I mean, that would make sense if we were losing the entire game, but it was 7-7 for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers try to run the ball more.
Well, yeah, let's look at the play calling. Why didn't we run the ball more? I mean, like you said, we're not catching up in this game, or at least most of the game we're not playing catch up. It's a low scoring game. You'd think, you know, pound the ball if this isn't, you know, the air route isn't working. Why do you think they didn't go that route?
You know, it's tough to say. I know the Packers feel like they do need to. I mean, McCarthy said he plans to give Lacy and Starks plenty of opportunities, but I would say 12 carries for Lacy is not enough, and I think Starks had, what, 7 carries in this game?
Yeah, 7 for 3 yards with a long run of 5 yards.
Right,
thank you, Starks.
Right. So it's kind of puzzling to me. You know, I mean, the Vikings secondary isn't fantastic. I think part of it might have been the fact that, you know, they were missing Xavier Rhodes, who is their number one corner, and they were playing, you know, Trey Waynes, who's only a second year player, and, like I said, for the most part did not look very good. And then the other guy they have is Terrence Newman, who's the second oldest defensive player in the league. So maybe just based on that, they thought that they could take advantage of matchups through the air and, you know, didn't decide not to run the ball as much. That would be my guess. But, you know, the problem is, so far, the Packers have not achieved balance. You know, in 2014, we had Lacy running
yes,
well.
Yes, Sensei.
Yes, achieve your balance. You know, in 2014, which, again, is, you know, we keep looking back to that 2 years ago because that was kind of the gold standard for the Packers having a balanced offense. You know, Lacy ran well. That opened up the pass, and then the pass subsequently opened up the run. Whereas neither of those, you know, the run hasn't opened up the pass, and the pass hasn't been good enough to open up the run. So both have kind of been mediocre thus far. Packers actually, after two games, had the 30th ranked passing offense in the league, which, you know, again, 2 years ago, that would have been unthinkable for us to have a passing rank that low. And again, that's two games, so it's still concerning, you know, after the first.
Listen, this is NFL football. We don't have a lot of games. Two games is, you know, 1/8 of the season, roughly. So, I mean, they got to get this on track fast.
Yeah, and again, you know, Rodgers hasn't looked like his normal self. There were a couple throws he had where, you know, our guy had a couple steps. He wasn't wide open, but, you know, a couple steps is about as good as you can hope for in the NFL. And he just overthrew them or threw it short, and he just doesn't look like his normal self still. I saw something, somebody had posted something on the internet that this is Rodgers' 14th game in a row with a sub-100 passer rating. 2 years ago, unthinkable that he would do that. I mean, this is the guy who set the record for passer rating in a regular season. I believe in 2011 it was 122.5 was his average, which is, you know, ridiculous, especially compared to what we've seen from him the last 2 years and then these two games. So I don't know whatever he's doing. Maybe he should put cheese back in his diet. Maybe that's really holding him back. But whatever he needs to do to get on track, I don't know if it's, you know, the classic work on, you know, running routes with the receivers after practice, or, you know, better communication. I don't know what it is, but he really needs to get on track here. And the other thing that was interesting with Rodgers' game was all the fumbles he had. I remember reading an article.
Oh, my word.
3 or 4 years ago. I think it was in 2010. He had lost a couple, like a bunch of fumbles. Not a bunch, like 5 or 6. And so in that offseason, he really worked on his ball security before the next year. And so that's something that he prides himself on. But
well, this is his – I thought this was interesting. This is actually his second game in his career that he had 3 fumbles in one game.
Okay.
Probably happened during that same series. I just thought that – I would never have thought that he had had a game that bad with that many fumbles.
Yeah.
There it is.
I want to say that was probably in the 2010 or 2009 season, I would think, probably, because I don't remember him ever – I was shocked at how many times he let, you know, he was so callous with his ball handling. So,
oh man, he was waving it around.
Yeah, and again,
that first fumble was the worst. I mean, he was just kind of doing the classic, like, you know, quarterback never getting out of his throwing stance with his arm, not his stance, his throwing grip.
Right.
But normally, Rodgers is more secure than that once he's out of the pocket.
Yeah. So,
especially past the line of scrimmage.
Right, and it's interesting because, again, he claims he takes pride in that, so I'm sure he'll be working on that in practice.
Not anymore, Aaron. Not anymore. You cannot take pride in that.
Well, at least not for that game.
He's got to earn back my trust.
Yeah. If there is a goat, per se, you know, who can we scapegoat this loss on? You could say Rodgers. You know, he committed both of the turnovers in the second half. Now, the interception, I don't know if – to me, it looked like Adams ran a pretty good route, and Rodgers just underthrew him a little bit. Again, I don't know if that was the route Adams was supposed to run, so I guess he can only take partial blame for that. But that fumble he had that got recovered by Minnesota, that was pretty rough. The key thing about that fumble, too, was that drive we were on, that was looking like the best drive of the season. I mean, we were hitting chunk plays down the field. You know, Richard Rodgers made an appearance in the passing game, which he hadn't, you know, been pretty quiet till then. We were passing, you know, Nelson and Adams were making plays. And I thought, you know, at that point, I thought, all right, we're going to go down, we're going to score, and we're going to take control. And then that fumble happened, and that all went out the window. So that's pretty rough. The other guy who I think more Packer fans will probably blame for this loss is Demaryius Randle, who got eaten alive by second-year wide receiver Stephon Diggs, who...
9 receptions, 182 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, several huge chunk plays. It looked like he was open all the time. I don't want to say Demaryius Randle's not good. I mean, everybody has a bad game. And again, Randle's only in his second year as well. So, but yeah, I think, boy, Stephon Diggs looked like, he looked like Antonio Brown last night, the way he was playing.
But again, I know you're saying that as kind of like he's not Antonio Brown, but I think Stephon Diggs is a great player. He had a good week last week. He has the potential to be one of the explosive wide receivers in the league. He's fast, very, very quick. That said, no wide receiver should ever get 182 yards and a touchdown in a game.
Right. And I don't know if it was more if the Packers were playing a lot of man-to-man and so they were just taking advantage of that, or if they were, you know, if they would have switched to the zone, if that would have been different. Yeah, and again, I think Stephon Diggs is really good too. I mean, he showed that at the back end of last year and has, you know, picked up right where he left off this season. His performance was a key. I mean, really, without him, the Vikings had almost no offense in this game besides that, because, you know, the one good thing that we had in this game for the Packers was our run defense, which after 2 games is ranked number 1 in the NFL. So this is my we lost, but on the bright side, the run defense looks real good. I know they were talking about this a lot on the broadcast, how these Vikings offensive line, you know, were more run blockers than pass blockers, but they didn't look very good at either one yesterday, or at least not, especially not run blocking, because even before Peterson got hurt and went out, he only had, what was it, 12 carries
yards.
Or 19 yards. Yeah. So they really shut him down. And you know, I know in our last episode I said that Peterson usually has pretty good games against the Packers. Well, last year, you know, bottled him up pretty good. He only had 110 yards on 32 carries over the 2 games last season. So we, you know, we held form. Our defense held form with those 2 games and then some. At one point, he had, I think, 7 carries for -3 yards, which is, again, for a talent of Adrian Peterson's level, pretty darn good. You know, I'll take that. Even 12 carries for 19 yards, I'll you know, if you would have said that was his final, you know, stats from the game last night, I would have said, oh, Packers win that game going away. But
right. And the line. I mean, the offensive line for Minnesota is known as a running line and, in fact, struggled to pass protect. But the thing they're supposed to be good at is that run blocking. But just nothing going for Adrian Peterson. Obviously came down with the injury. Those of you out there haven't gotten the update at this point. It broke this afternoon. He has a torn meniscus, which is actually good news for Vikings fans. That usually is able to be something that is played through. He might miss a week or two, but he will be back, and that'll be important, obviously, when we play them in the home game later on in the season that we talked about earlier.
Right.
Well, but happy to see, I mean, as much as he is an enemy, I don't want Adrian Peterson to be hurt anymore.
Two things about that. It's interesting because when Mike Zimmer spoke to the press this afternoon, he said that, yeah, Peterson had torn meniscus, but he didn't even rule out that he would miss the upcoming game. I think they play Carolina next week. I would be shocked if he came back for that game. I think he'll miss at least a week or two.
Is that home or are they going to Carolina? Do you know off the top of your head?
That is a good question.
Because that'd be a huge... I mean, if it's home, I can see him playing. I don't see him traveling to Carolina in a game they probably already expect to lose and risking further injury.
That is on the road against the Panthers next Sunday at noon Central Time. So, but he said he didn't rule... He didn't say Peterson was out, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was. The other thing I want to talk about with the injury...
As a fantasy owner of Adrian Peterson, I am going to put him on my bench for next week.
That's probably the smart move. There's a little, you know, fantasy advice for you. Don't play Peterson because he's probably not going to play. The other thing I want to talk about with the Peterson injury is... So I on the TV broadcast, when they showed the Vikings coming onto the field the first time, they showed this new part of their new stadium. The Vikings come onto the field, like the tunnel to the locker room goes through this like club,
the bar,
restaurant thing where all the fans are, which I totally understand from like a...
Are you upset by that? I saw USA Today put out a column today, like how this is a design flaw in the stadium. And I kind of laughed at it. I mean, Cowboy Stadium, which most people say is the nicest before this stadium in the NFL, has the exact same thing.
I totally understand from a team perspective of, oh, now they can run through and, you know, fans who pay, because I guarantee to get seats in that thing is super, that, you know, that club level is super expensive.
Oh, yeah.
But at least, you know, if you can be, you know, 2 feet away from your favorite Vikings players that are onto the field, I mean, for some people, that's worth it. I just thought it was funny when, or I guess, I mean, not funny, just strange, when they were, you know, when they were taking...
Terrible person thinking it's funny.
When they were taking Peterson back to the locker room.
Jacob Speckhard laughing at torn meniscuses. People's lives are at stake, Jake.
Yeah. Well,
okay, that was a little extreme. People's knees are at stake.
People's
Jake.
Careers are possibly at stake.
Well, that would have been good to say.
I couldn't help but laugh because when they're taking Peterson back to the locker room, you know, they had to take him through that same bar area. So it's like you're Adrian Peterson, you're thinking, oh no, my knee's torn up, and there's some dude like eating nachos like 2 feet away from you, being, you know, maybe crying or so. It's like, I don't know. I thought it was weird. Like, usually when you go into the tunnel, it's like, okay, you've escaped like the crowd and everybody freaking out, but now it's like, now you're really personal with a ton of fans. Did the fans say anything to him when he was walking by? Like, you know, get better, you know, like, I don't know. I just thought that would be kind of an awkward situation for him.
For the record, Jake imagines some guy eating nachos, crying, and then he says to Adrian Peterson as he walks by, get better.
Well, hey, he probably has some of his fantasy.
He's
real upset. So, you know, he needs nachos to cheer himself up. His team just lost their best player.
Yeah, just spin this fantasy. Keep it up. This is great. Good stuff.
So I thought that was, you know, interesting. Kind of the whole like, oh, you can get closer to the team. Maybe backfired a little bit from that perspective. But
there was a weird amount of turns. Like he had to turn like four times with these two guys carrying him.
Right. It's just like everybody's there just watching you, like, you know, being carted out there. If I was Adrian Peterson, that would just be weird. But I'm not Adrian Peterson, so I don't know how he reacted.
What if he wants some nachos? I mean, think about the positive aspect.
That's
of that.
True. You know, he can, yeah, like, hey, give him some. You know, he can swing by and grab a nacho on his way to the locker room.
The tear-soaked nachos. The
delicious tear-soaked nachos.
Can we name the episode, this episode, Tear-Soaked Nachos? I feel like we'd get more views that way, or listens.
I feel like those views would be just out of sheer, like, morbid curiosity. Like,
that's
what
right.
In the world?
Clickbait. Clickbait.
Ultimate
all day.
Clickbait. Tear-soaked nachos.
Yep. Mm.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say one more thing. You know, we had our goats, sort of, co-goats, I guess.
But who is our unsung hero? That is our question.
The this unsung is hero for this
Who's
week?
A hero in the loss? Who is the Obi-Wan Kenobi in this Order 66?
I like that. I like that the reference. That's good.
You know, that was straight off the dome. I'm pretty impressed by that.
That's not bad.
Much better than architecture and bird sighting. I'm warming up.
And bird stuff. I would say the unsung hero is our first-round pick from this year, defensive tackle Kenny Clark. He had to step in and play more snaps than we probably planned because LaTroy Guyon, one of our starting defensive linemen, suffered suffered a knee injury and did not return to the game. I've not seen an update on his status as of yet. I imagine that'll come out tomorrow after they do their tests and, you know, whatever they do at Packers headquarters.
Probably MRI today.
Right, exactly. So hopefully that's not serious because he is a key member of our line. Obviously, with us still not having Mike Pennell due to suspension, he played very well last week. He played very well until he got hurt this week. So, but Kenny Clark kind of got pressed into more duty than probably was originally planned, and our run defense didn't seem to suffer much from him being in there instead of Guyon. So I would say he's, and again, in a game where we lost and there's, maybe not a ton of candidates, I would say he's probably would be my candidate this week.
I do realize we got ahead of ourselves. I didn't actually give you a play-by-play on this game like we normally do, so do this little post-discussion. Scoring started again, like we mentioned, on the back of a pass interference and a holding call, which, by the way, I didn't. That was a pretty weak holding call on Jordy in the end zone. But
one thing about that I do want to mention is that drive also was started in good field position because of a block punt by a wide receiver, Ty Montgomery, who made a really nice kind of came in behind Joe Thomas on the punt team and partially blocked the kick. It did go a couple yards, but the Packers started with the ball, I think, at their own 48, so basically midfield. So that was huge starting off the drive.
Yes. Culminating with Jordy Nelson 1 yard pass from Aaron Rodgers. Vikings come not right back, but in the second quarter with a pass from Sam Bradford for another touchdown, later field goal to end going into the half. 10-7, Vikings up. Come back to the third. Stephon Diggs, the nightmares, the man who will, what am I trying to say there? The man who will haunt the nightmares of the Packers this week. There we go. That makes more
Demarius
sense.
Yeah, Demarius Randle probably closes his eyes and sees just Stephon Diggs at all times.
Just a Viking just running by him, this large man in purple. He scores again in the third quarter, his touchdown, giving 17-7. Aaron Rodgers throws a late touchdown pass. Not late, but a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter.
That was a touchdown run, actually. It wasn't a pass.
Oh, you're right. I read that incorrectly. Oh, yeah, that was a really nice run. I should not have forgotten that.
Yeah, remember, because you were upset that Sendejo threw himself into Rodgers' gut, and that's how
I was. You are very right. I thought it should have been offsetting penalties with that late hit on Aaron Rodgers when he's obviously crossed the plane. I know in real time it happens fast, but he lowers his head, hard hit. I don't know.
See, now I agree with you. It definitely was a late hit, but here's the thing. Like, if I'm a Vikings fan and, let's not even do that. If I'm Sendejo, which again, I'm not, obviously not, but if I was him, do I look at that and say, oh, I don't want to get a penalty. I should just not try to stop him from scoring and I'll just, sit here and watch,
That's not what he's thinking. He's thinking, at least I can get a shot in and probably won't get penalized. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is in the end zone at that point.
All right, but I'm just saying, like, before that, when he's running to the end zone, does Sendejo just decide, oh, I don't want to, I'm just going to stand here and watch? Or
no, you run towards him, and then when you can't get to him, you pull out and maybe, brush his shoulder or something like that. You don't lower your head and smack into him. And listen, I have no problem with, I forget what lineman came
Treader,
up and,
JC Treader.
Kind of pushed him around. That's what you do as an offensive lineman when your quarterback gets hit.
Right. So now, here's the thing.
I'm not upset about that.
Right. I mean, definitely, you watch it now and it's like, oh, yeah, that was a late hit. But the other thing that Sendejo did that I think helped him is that he hit Rodgers in what's being referred to now as the quarterback strike zone, where he didn't hit him in the knees, he didn't hit him low, he didn't hit him in the head. He hit him, right in the gut, basically, which these days is pretty much the only place you're allowed to hit quarterbacks. So I don't know if because he actually hit them in the place you're quote-unquote supposed to, if he got a, benefit of the doubt there. But again, yes, it was a little late. I know. I don't have any problem with JC Treader getting upset or Rodgers himself getting upset, because it did kind of look like a cheap shot at the end there. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the last scoring that we have in this game. The game kind of peters out thanks to that fumble we already talked about, and the Packers suffered their first loss.
And yeah, I mean, and kind of talking about that, the Packers had so many chances. You know, we had that drive going that we talked about where Rodgers fumbled, and then we got the ball back, and again we're looking like we were going down the field to try to at least get into field goal range, and really one more first down would have put us close to Crosby's field goal range in the dome. And then Rodgers throws the interception to Trey Waynes, who, after picking up three penalties and allowing the longest play of the game for the Packers, sort of, you know, basically semi-redeemed himself with that catch. And then even then, with that interception, you know, it was third and about six, and we had a chance again to stop him and get the ball back with a decent time. And then Demaryius Randle, who kind of punctuated his bad night, commits pass interference. I did see some Packer fans were complaining about that, but I mean, he grabbed the guy's jersey and pulled him back. That's pass interference. That's holding. That's a good call. So after that, it was pretty much over. But you know, again, the Packers had many chances to drive down and at least tie the game. And
could we, on that same note, talk about that possession where we decided to go for it on fourth down in a close game within field goal range? I think it happened in the third quarter, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
We had that run where we were stopped short.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I really thought, seeing it live, I really thought Starks actually got the first down. And if you watch that play, the Lions judge on the top runs in. He runs in short, and the Lions judge on the bottom runs in right on the yellow line on the TV, which, again, I know they brought this up last night. It's not official, but it's pretty darn close. And then Al Michaels even said it basically came down to the top line's judge getting to the ball before the bottom one did and spotting it where he thought it was. I honestly really thought that the Packers could challenge that and had a decent case, but you know, they came back and no challenge had occurred. And then
it was a pile. I mean, I don't like challenging piles. I mean, I feel like there's never going to be enough evidence to overturn. Well, not never, but it's tough. And honestly, I do not agree with you. I think actually the line judge that eventually spotted the ball was right. I think they stopped us. But the actual call, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we were in field goal range at that point, somewhere around the 35 or something like that. Why go for it on fourth?
Yeah, they were in field goal range, and that is the thing. You know, if they had done that, you know, the game would have been tied at the end there. I mean, again, it's not about what the play call at the time. It's about what happens later that kind of determines what people think about it. So obviously now looking back, it's like, well, if we would have kicked a field goal, we could have tied the game. And, you know, you're right. We potentially could have had a tied game. But I thought it was the right move, you know, when it happened. I kind of liked the fact that we were going for it, because it just seemed like we needed something to, you know, kind of help us break through. Like a field goal, we kind of felt like settling at that point. But you know, the call didn't go our way. We got stopped short, according to the one Lions judge, and Vikings turned that around and took it down and scored. So that's just them's the breaks, as they say.
How it goes. Green Bay Packers now 1-1. Anything left to say on this Minnesota game before we transition here?
I guess if there's one last thing I would say is that, like I said before, we might be chasing this team for the entire season.
It's okay. You can get emotional. Just let it out, Jake.
It's just so rough.
Crunch. That's your tear-soaked nachos.
Tear-soaked nachos. I'm going to make a recipe for that later, and we'll post it on our Twitter.
Secretly, Jake was just thinking about himself at his home as he watched the end of this game, eating nachos and saying to Sam Shields, get better.
Get better, Shields. Well, see, I can't do that because the Packers don't have a freaking restaurant going back to the locker room. So,
you want one of those is what you're saying in Lambeau. Get on it. Let's go. Stadium Designers at Lambeau. New expansion.
Yeah, let's waste money on that. That sounds like a good idea. But we'll be chasing the Vikings for the time being. You know, again, I think some people thought that with Jordy back, you know, we would reclaim our rightful destiny as the Kings of the North. And the Vikings did not agree with us. So they're going to be in it for the long haul, I think.
Yeah, again, as we mentioned, top of the NFC North, looking to only get better as Sam Bradford learns that offense. As Adrian Peterson perhaps come back, they're going to be tough to beat in this division.
One last thing I wanted to bring up, you brought up Bradford, which maybe reminded me. The whole reason I thought the Packers would win this game was because I think there were two plays in particular. There was one play where Bradford really overthrew somebody, and then there was that play where he threw kind of a quick pass to Kyle Rudolph, the tight end, and Rudolph, like, didn't look up in time, and the ball just went through his hands. I thought that was going to be the story of the game for the for their offense, being that, again, he's only been there for 2 weeks. But he was very impressive, made a lot of really nice throws, you know, knew, kind of looked like he understood most of the checkdowns, like where to go with the ball. You know, if those two plays where he did look like he was out of sorts had been, you know, the majority of what their offense looked like, I think the Packers would have won. But, again, hats off to Bradford. It was pretty impressive considering his, you know, relative inexperience. So,
yep. Games in the books. Again, Packers 1-1. The road does not get easier next week. Well, I'm going to take that back. The road gets a lot easier, let's be honest. They're playing the Lions next week.
and
Detroit Lions finally at home. Lions, same record as the Packers, 1-1. They lose this past week to the Tennessee Titans in a weird game. They lose 16-15. Not a usual football score.
No.
Safety was involved in this game. Lots of field goals. Sloppy play, really. But in the end, Titans do come out on top. This is a game that was in Detroit as well. So they lost that home game in that nice stadium they have over there in Detroit. Lions, kind of basic summary from this game. It's, again, Stafford mistakes. They have a chance to get the game-winning field goal at the end, interception there. Total in this game is 260 yards, one touchdown, one interception for Matt Stafford. Their run game didn't really get off the ground. A committee running with Abdullah, Theo Riddick, and even Washington. But nothing really stood out. I mean, they're playing the Titans, up-and-coming team, but not much sizzle there. Same with the Lions. It seems just kind of a blech team,
right,
in my opinion.
I will say, to all our listeners out there, if you haven't seen the game-winning touchdown in this game, you should go watch it because it's pretty incredible. I mean, I don't know how
Andre Johnson still has it.
I don't know how Marcus Mariota fit that ball onto Andre Johnson in the end zone, but it was, you know, they say football is a game of inches. Well, it was literally a game of inches on that play. I mean, it was incredible.
Between two different pairs of arms,
right
into his chest, somehow he holds on. Great, great throw by Mariota, who had a tough game last week. Good game this week.
Now, it is interesting. You said the offense wasn't, their running game didn't really get going. The Lions actually have the seventh overall passing offense so far and actually the 10th overall rush offense to this point in the season, which, again, it's two games. But this is, these are the numbers we have so far. And they're sixth overall in total offense. So the thing that I think we can look at is the Lions. We're past the Vikings now. They have the 26th overall ranked defense, and when it comes to passing, the defense for the Lions is ranked 23rd, and their rushing defense is ranked. I just had it here. It wasn't high. It was pretty. It was pretty low. Let me.
Yeah, and we should say in this game, the Titans versus Lions. DeMarco Murray runs for 89 yards, but only on 12 attempts. He's busting off a lot of long runs. But if you watch the replay, which is available on NFL.com, you can see most of these runs, Murray's not touched until he's tackled. I mean, the line has just opened up huge holes in the Lions' defense. We can hope that Eddie Lacy and James Starks will see as big a holes. And if they do, this is going to be a game where we talked about earlier that the Packers finally get on the run game, which it seems normally they don't really get on that train until the end of the year for some reason. Cold weather obviously affects that, but next week looks like a game to run the ball.
Yeah, so I just looked it up, and the Lions have the 19th ranked rush defense in the league at this point. So I think it's going to be very important. Again, only 12 carries for Lacy. That needs to change. Only 7 carries for Starks. That needs to change. We need to feed those guys and give them plenty of opportunities to make things happen. Lions, at least in recent years, I know last year they beat us at Lambeau, and then we barely pulled out against them in Detroit. But it seems like the Lions a lot of times have been a good for what ails you type of game for the Packers. You're kind of having some issues. It's like, oh, we'll play the Lions, we'll get back on track. So hopefully that's what's going to happen this week. But yeah, so we can get the run game on going, and then their pass defense is actually worse than their rush defense to this point. So hopefully we can see an improvement in the Packers passing attack as well. Because that would be big.
That would be. Lions are a team that pass a lot, though, looking on the other side of the ball. Matt Stafford in this past game has 40 attempts. only completes 22 of those, but still we show the play call tends towards, even with perhaps a good running attack, to pass a lot. And if Shields is still out, of course, concussions, you can never really predict. I'd imagine he'd be back, but we're not sure. That could be a problem as well. They don't have someone like a Stephon Diggs that's as explosive. It's still nerve-wracking to look at that, knowing that our defense was just picked apart by a quarterback who'd been with a team for just 2 weeks.
Right. The one guy I would say we definitely have to stop, and obviously we learned our, you know, hopefully we learned our lesson from Stephon Diggs, but Marvin Jones is actually seventh in the league in receiving yards to this point. He's had over 100. He's averaged 100 yards in both the games. He has 202 yards on the season. He was actually a free agent signed. They got him from Cincinnati. And it was funny because he came in and everyone kind of assumed that he was the number two guy behind Golden Tate. But then there were reports in training camp that people were saying, I think he's more the number one guy than Golden Tate is. And if you look at the production in the first two games, Golden Tate hasn't done much, and Marvin Jones has been the bulk of the passing attack. So I think he's going to be the key guy to stop. I don't know if they'll put Randall on him. Obviously, if Shields is back, that's who he'll guard, I would assume. Whatever we need to do, if we need to run a different defense, run a zone coverage, you know, double team them, bring more safety help over the top. I think the game plan, as long as the run defense does their thing and can slow down Abdullah and Washington and Theo Riddick, I think the game plan for the Packers defense this week is containing Marvin Jones and making other people beat us.
Do you think Golden Tate's friends actually call him Golden? Like, can you see yourself calling a close friend that you know? Like, hey, Golden. Golden, what's up? Like, even, like, how would you shorten that? Gold? Hey, Gold?
Maybe they just call him G. You know, it's like some people call people already anyway, but, you know, that's actually the first letter of his name. Some of them just, you know, hey, G. That's what I would do if I was one of his friends.
It's on point. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you can name your kid Golden, you go for it. But I mean,
you'd write that out.
I just feel like it'd be tough to convince people to call me Golden. Obviously, you know, I try in my everyday life, but it's harder because my name is Andy. But if my name was actually Golden, I would have some more fodder to get people to do it. But I still don't know if they would.
Right. Maybe they call him GT, you know, his initials.
Has there ever been like a, I'm sure there's an interview where someone has referenced him. Did they say Golden? Tate? I mean, Tate is maybe a name you could call someone, a last name.
Yeah, well, I know, you know, one of my good friends in college, you know, his first name is Matt, last name Harvey. We all just called him Harvey. So for now it's like I call him Matt and it just sounds weird. But maybe people just call him Tate. I don't really know. Maybe we should investigate that this week and we can follow up on our next episode.
Are you trying to divert me? I feel like you're trying to divert me, and you say you want to get back to talking about football.
No, I never thought about this, but yeah, calling somebody Golden in real life just seems odd.
So, getting back to what we were talking about before, the Detroit Lions, home of
Detroit Lions,
Golden Tate. Cutting to the quick here, I think the Packers have this game. I think it is going to be a heals what ails you kind of game. I think they put up lots of points. Aaron Rodgers has a strong game, gets over that 100-point passer rating clip that's, for some reason, been a boogeyman for
recently. Yeah, been evading him for the last 14 games, which shocked me when I read that. I would not have guessed that.
I think Lacy runs for over 100. I think this is a big game.
Yeah, it has all the makings of, you know, the Packers are finally back at Lambeau after, I mean, including the preseason, we haven't been at Lambeau for a game in over a month. So, you know, good to get back and, you know, get to sleep in your own bed, all that stuff, dress in your own locker room, get your pregame meal the way you like it, all those things. So,
soggy nachos.
So if you want those tears, you know, those, what do we call them? The
tear soaked. I always want to say tear stained, but that wouldn't make sense. Also, it's a really gross picture.
Yeah,
I apologize.
That's pretty disgusting. So if you want your tear soaked nachos, you can, you know, the chefs at Lambeau, they'll make them for you. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I think this is going to be a turnabout for the Packers. You know, at least for this game, we'll get back on track. You know, I think Rodgers will pass for at least 250 yards, if not more. Lacy will run for 100 yards. I could see that happening. I think Starks could have a big game, you know, if we try to run some screen plays for him. And hopefully Nelson will have one of those nice, you know, 60-yard bombs for a touchdown that will restore our faith in him, or at least give us an indication that him and Rodgers are kind of getting back on the same page. So, yeah, I think this is going to be one of those games where we turn it back to what we're used to, at least, you know, going back 2 years ago again, seeing from the Packers. And hopefully this will be the start of a brand new 20-year streak of the Lions not winning in the state of Wisconsin after they broke that last season.
That would be a nice streak to start over again. I will say, though, looking at it from a Lions perspective, if I were them, my game plan coming into this game is, despite what they did last week, to keep the ball, not give the ball into Aaron Rodgers' hands, knowing that their defense is a little lack, and just run the ball straight down the Packers' throat, knowing that's something that they, well, not the Packers struggle with, but something that is strong for the Lions. That's strength going on strength, but I would just want to eat up that clock if I was the Lions, make this as short a game as possible. If they're successful in that, I think that's their key if they want to win this game. I think the Packers are well-suited to defend against that, but just something to look for.
Yeah, I would say, you know, and if they are successful, then maybe they can start, you know, running play action and trying to hit Marvin Jones for some chunk plays, or even getting other, you know, if Golden Tate maybe, you know, some people would say after two games he's due, and we all know how, you know, the games he's had against the Packers in the past, especially that terrible game in Seattle 4 years ago, or maybe Eric Ebron, their tight end, maybe he'll get more involved this time. Yeah, establishing the run for them is going to be important if they want to try to get other receivers involved. Otherwise, I mean, for them, maybe they'll watch this game tape and say, man, Demaryius Randle got torched by Stephon Diggs. Now, Marvin Jones isn't Stephon Diggs, but he's, you know, he's a good receiver, so they could maybe try to get matchups, you know, run motions, get matchups against him one-on-one and see, you know, take their chances. But again, I think, yeah, the way the run defense for the Packers has looked so far, all they have to do is do what they've done the last two games and, you know, make Matthew Stafford try to beat us with his arm. I was actually looking at Matthew Stafford's career stats against the Packers. Usually he averages about 277 yards a game. That's actually kind of in the middle in terms of where he ranks against the rest of the league. And he has 20 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. So, you know, some good and some bad. As long as we can keep that more on the bad side, I think we'll be in good shape.
Any final thoughts on Lions Packers before we put this one to bed?
Again, the matchup to watch is to see, you know, whoever Demaryius Randle ends up guarding, assuming Shields doesn't come back, which again I hope he does. That's going to be big to see if the Lions pick on him based on what they saw against Minnesota. Again, if they get, you know, if the run defense can hold form and just stuff anybody who tries to run their way, we'll be fine. I think for score prediction, I'm going to say Packers win, and the final score of this game is going to be 30-14.
Oh, you're very close to what I have. But you should listen to me more, since we should say season wide, Andy is currently 2-0 in his predictions. Jake is a 1-1 in his predictions. So yeah, winning that battle. I mean, I don't like to say I told you so, but
you don't have to lie. You do.
I told you so. And you really what that means is I am the better commentator, right? I mean, that's what we can draw there. Just bar none, easily.
You can keep telling yourself that.
I think they win 35-14.
35-14. So you have 5 touchdowns on the day for the Packers.
I do. It's going to be a glorious day.
Yeah. Well,
kickoff is at noon, I believe, if I'm remembering that correctly.
Noon Central Time, so
day be sure game. To check it out. Also, you should definitely follow us on Twitter, @PackersInLaw, and you should definitely follow us during that game. Watch our commentary. It's really great. Jake has good insights about what's happening. I throw up some very interesting tweets, such as this one from last night. Randall Cobb has beautiful eyes.
I saw that and I was like, that was definitely Andy. So you can probably tell when if it's Andy or me who's live tweeting. So
yeah, it's a fun game you can play if you want.
Yeah, we did start that last night. I think that's something we'll continue to do just to kind of – it also kind of helps us to organize our – at least helps me to organize my thoughts before we do the podcast. So, you know, or at least you remember things that you wrote down in reaction to what happened in the game. So look for that if that is your jam. We also do have our Facebook page at Packers Launch you can follow. We posted a bunch of stories this last week about Packer news. So that, you know, you can follow that as well. If you still like email, you can email us at Packers and Law.
If you like that long eclipsed thing called email.
Hey, some people might prefer to do that. Some people.
I'm just saying that was the subtext you were saying. I am not agreeing with what you just said. I'm just trying to make clear what you were making implicit.
Right. So yeah, if email is your thing, you can email us packersandlaw@gmail.com. We'll be checking that and.
We're on iTunes.
And yes, we're on iTunes.
We should be on any podcast app out there. So if you have an app, if you have an iPhone, your just regular podcast app, if you Podcast Republic or whatever else, we are there. Search for us, Packers in Law. Subscribe, as we said earlier, even if you don't like the show, just to be a good person.
Yes, for your karma, I suppose. But yeah, send us questions if you have them. You know, tweet at us, email us, Facebook us, you know, whatever other methods you have that I don't know about. Get them to us, and we will happily digest them.
Seriously, though, have you seen Randall Cobb's eyes? They are very dreamy. Like, they're like this green but blue, like, look straight into your soul thing. Like, you know, at the beginning of the game on Sunday nights, they have, like, where they show each person and they say, you know, Aaron Rodgers, University of California. When Randall Cobb came up, I was struck.
Were you spellbound? Do I need to tell Anna about this? Should this be a concern for her?
She was there, and she heard me say out loud, Randall Cobb has beautiful eyes, and then saw me get out my phone and tweet that very sentence. I don't know. She knows. Also, all the people who were at my house, which is a sizable amount of people, including my mother and my grandparents. Anyway, this is not really important. Randall Cobb's beautiful eyes. Search and Google Randall Cobb's eyes. I've never done that. I don't think there'll be anything questionable, but you'll see some beautiful eyes. Anyway, that is Packers in Law, Episode 4. Go eat some soggy nachos, and don't worry, we'll beat the Lions next week.
We'll see you guys next week.
Outro music. Bum ba da bum ba da bum ba da ba pee doo doo doo.